May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be always acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer.
Amen.
Well, Psalm 51 is an incredibly powerful psalm to read together. It is very hard-hitting, isn't it? It really is very tough to read. The psalm is King David's response after God sent the prophet Nathan to rebuke him. If you remember, David had committed adultery with Bathsheba, had her husband killed, and David did an amazing thing. Instead of denying his actions and, you know, throwing Nathan in prison, I mean, who comes and insults the king like that? David admitted his transgression and threw himself on God's mercy. So the psalm is his honest assessment of the situation. Now, to modern ears, I think it sounds pretty jarring. It sounds pretty severe. And if a modern person said this, we might listen to them for a while, but then say, look, you know, go easy on yourself, David. Go easy on yourself. Stop beating yourself up. Any of us could have done the same thing. And at a certain level, that would be right. We have to stop beating ourselves up at some point and hear God's words of forgiveness and receive the forgiveness that he offers. But far too often, our modern tendency is to skip over the hard parts. You know, skip over confession. Move quickly to absolution and the good news. I just want the good words. I want the positive words. Oftentimes, if we feel there's too much repenting going on, we react in frustration or anger over what we consider to be a very judgmental and old-fashioned attitude. Not so with David, though. He faced his actions head-on, and we owe it to ourselves to go deeply into the words of Psalm 51. The psalm is a key element in our Ash Wednesday tradition. If we're going to go where he goes, then we'll find something amazing. We'll see that such an approach actually frees us and allows us to appreciate and receive God's mercy and grace in a new and ongoing way. David begins by willingly accepting the consequences of his actions. His actions were awful. They caused hardship for himself and his family. They grieved the very heart of God. Verse 4 says, "Against you, you only, have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight." The king of Israel has broken the covenant with God, and this is something deeply personal. If we think of God as impersonal and distant, then, you know, David's actions might be seen as quite minor. After all, if God is distant and disconnected from us and from our daily life, well, breaking his covenant isn't all that serious. You know, he's fine with it because he's not that involved anyway. But David saw it differently. He saw God as his up-close and personal Lord, and he was in a deeply personal relationship with him. God was intensely involved in his life, and intensely jealous of any competing false god in David's life and also the life of the nation. So when David sinned boldly with Bathsheba, it was a willful and extreme reaction, and it was against God. It was a slap in the face to God after God had given him love and mercy. So David, by God's grace, is able to admit it. He says, God has a right to judge me. And again, that can be something difficult, especially for our modern mind. In many Christian circles, it's unfashionable to think of God as our judge. We love to think of him as our friend and our teacher, our sovereign Lord, yes, but our judge? Not really. The way out of this mess is clear to David, and he again used direct and very plain words. He asked to be cleansed with hyssop, which was a branch used in purification rituals. We might grab a cedar bough or something if, you know, in our own context here. I don't think we have hyssop growing around here, do we? I don't think so. But the hyssop was dipped in blood and used to mark the door frame of the house during the Passover and possibly to sprinkle people and objects. The word used in the original language literally means unsin me, cleanse me, wash me, make me new. David also asked God something else. He said, please give me a new heart. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He was asking God to change him from the inside out, to perform spiritual heart surgery and make him a new person. Well, towards the end of the psalm, David gets at the root of the problem for himself and his people, the problem for also the religious leaders in the Gospels, those who opposed Jesus. These people had, in the place of genuine repentance of the heart, they put their faith in the actions of the priests, the animal sacrifices that were being offered. And they seemed to feel that as long as these sacrifices were being offered, their sins were covered over, everything was fine. They were expected to keep the covenant, but it easily became works righteousness, where you became right with God through the physical actions of another person, of a priest. And in that way, which happens for modern people sometimes too, faith becomes almost an option when it was actually the most important response to God's grace. David says to God in verses 16 and 17, "You do not delight in sacrifice, or I would bring it. You do not take pleasure in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise." In two verses, David, under the influence of the Holy Spirit, goes to the heart of the problem. He urges a new approach, one where the religious sacrifices in the temple were motivated and symbolized by a deep and heartfelt repentance, a turning to God. The good news is that this kind of sincere response is never ignored by God. He sees it, he loves to see it, he rewards it with forgiveness and new life. He is merciful. Ash Wednesday is a day for this kind of honest and sincere reflection. And if you find it difficult to hear those words, I'm not going to say avoid it. Don't avoid it. Go with it. Explore it. Find out why it's difficult. Examine yourself. The words of the service call us to admit who we are. We are sinners. We stand under the judgment of the one and holy God. His judgment is just. And when we can face this reality squarely, then we can truly grasp and receive the forgiveness offered through the cross of Christ. And it becomes beautiful. The cross becomes beautiful. And it becomes good news. So to that cross and to the resurrection, we begin our Lenten journey. Amen.